I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real, so let's be perfect.
What up? Welcome to Perfect Mode. First off, let me start by telling y'all that we love y'all. We're grateful for the opportunity to be anywhere sharing our thoughts, hopefully in helping you realize that you are perfect. And the reason why I can unapologetically say that without any reservation is because I know that you are one of one, numero uno. You cannot be replicated, duplicated, and the only reason, and I mean the only reason that you would think that you're not perfect is if you're looking at this person on the side of you and saying, I'm not them, but you are you, and that's all you need. And of course, it's yours truly, Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor, and I have my boy Jay Clay, spiritual rapper and teacher, and we're about to get on here and talk about unlocking your inner calm, the inner calm, the one that's on the inside, mastering stress into pursuit of perfection. What up, Jay?
Yeah. What up? Happy day. Happy Sunday on this beautiful day of days. And yeah, man, it's another perfect day to talk about some good stuff. I want to say shout out to our Patreon. Shout out to Jeff. Appreciation.
Real.
And check out our Patreon. Check it out, man. Join it. Be able to vote on show topics. All of that's good stuff. And so this week is special because our 3-day water fast is coming up, and we still do the Monday fast or the 24-hour fast from when you last ate today. We got a quick break, like you can get a couple meals in, and then you start back the 3-day fast. So I'm excited about that. But go ahead.
Nah, man. Like I'm glad you. So the crazy thing, and I know this is going to be a little side, bar from our conversation, but I am glad that you brought up the fast, and the reason why is because I have been looking forward to it every single time at this time of the month. I'm always looking forward to the fast. Like not like mentally, it's like my body is like, okay, when you gonna give me a break? When you gonna give me a break? And the other thought that I wanted to talk to you about real quick is because we fast every Sunday and then we do the 3-day fast. Yeah. I'm starting to sit back and ask myself a question when I'm just chilling. Like, can I eat right now? Like, I'm reminding myself that I can eat on a more consistent basis than I've been eating. But, yeah, man, that's just my thoughts. I want to let you know.
Yeah, so real quick before we jump into this topic, with the fast, the reason I know it's time for one is, like, I start getting indecisive about what I want to eat. And it's crazy. Like after a fast, I know exactly what I want to eat. I know when I'm going to eat. I know everything about the food I'm going to eat and what's chosen. But I don't know, like when I'm indecisive, I'm not really that hungry. I'm just eating because I'm going through the motions and it's all of that. So I just know that it's time for it.
So. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Now to the topic, bro, like unlocking your inner calm, mastering stress in the pursuit of perfection. And I'm going to tell you why this thing hit home so much. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I feel like it can be a challenge for people. So number one, we didn't have a show last week. Shouts out. To having perfect mode vacations. We get to do that now since we've been going on 5 years strong. But one thing that I realized was changing my routine, i.e. not doing perfect mode, put me in a state of unease. And so what I was trying to do the entire week was unlock my inner calm. Meaning to quiet all the noise of knowing that not doing perfect mode and then domino effect, not doing a number of other things was okay. Because I was sitting in what I felt like a calm place, but I was not calmly acting. I was not calm mentally. I was not calm emotionally. And so I found myself trying to release and relinquish all ties and hold to anything that made me feel like I needed to do anything. Yeah. And, you know, it's just funny that something so small as not doing the show sent me on a whirlwind, not necessarily in a bad way, but in a place where it made me recognize my inner calm and try to quiet all the noise on the outside. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Well, even before that, like I like to get into what things are, like stress. Like what is stress? I remember being a kid, and I remember I first started hearing the word stress about people are stressed, and I couldn't figure out what it meant. I think I asked people, and it just didn't make sense to me. And it's funny just looking through that through the eyes of a kid. Stress wouldn't make sense because you're all about fun. You're allowed to play. You're allowed to do things. And it isn't until you become, you know, firm in your adulthood of maybe not doing what you always want to do that you can understand what stress is. So if you had to define it, what would you say stress is?
Being worried about things that you shouldn't worry about. That's how I look at it. Like, just using, and I want to tell you about my dad here in a little bit, but just using this past week as my example. There are things that I do for my clients that are time sensitive. I will always do those things, no matter what. But there are things that are involved in my everyday life that are not time sensitive, but they have a time that I've put on them myself for whatever reason. And so in this week where I was trying to relinquish and let go of all the things that would be something that I've set for myself to do, what I found sitting in that space was me worried about doing the things that I would want to have done based off of timelines that I've set for myself. And then in thinking and worrying about those things, starting to build a case for what it meant by me not doing it, which in turn caused stress. So that's the reason why I say we're being worried about things that don't necessarily, like, nothing really matters in the grand scheme of things. You can literally sit back and say, none of this stuff really matters, but we know that we don't generally do that. So I would say being worried about things that you don't want to worry about in the time that you don't want to worry about them. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Similarly, I would say stress in the sense is overthinking. And it's kind of built on false beliefs. Like, it's built on the belief that either you have to do something. So yeah, it's kind of rooted in fear that you're stressed about something because either you think it might not plan out how you think it should be, or you think that it has to be done within a certain amount of time, or else X, Y, Z will happen, which is still kind of future-based, still plan, still overthinking based on a fearful outcome. And when you look at it like that, like, it's like I'm being stressed about something that's not really here right now, something that's a mind constraint that's happening, and I'm being worried about it. I'm being scared about it when really there's nothing to be afraid about, when we can just address it head on. And I'll give an example. So one of the main things that led to us not doing Perfect Mode last week was I was doing a side quest, so to speak. I was working on something. I was getting a lot done, more than on a big project that I hadn't worked on in a long time. And to switch mindsets, I could do it, but it was just like, I started feeling the quote unquote stress about that. And I was like, man, I gotta switch mindsets. I gotta get into this form when I wasn't in it. And I kind of want to see this through. But so I came to Troy. I was like, well, how you feel about this week? I told him the deal. And he was like, well, no, I'm cool with, we just, you know, we take one of these vacation days that we say, cause you know, we do every Sunday. And we allowed ourselves to maybe do 40 out of the 52 Sundays this year. But in that, like, me coming to you, the stress was instantly relieved because it's like, well, instead of being stressful about it, we'll first find out if this is even real. Find out, do you have to switch mindsets? And again, there's nothing wrong with switching mindsets. It would have been nothing wrong with me doing an episode of Perfect Mode because it always brings me just extra joy. But it was just the point of me making something that is joyful to be a stressful thing because of the circumstances surrounding it. And it really just didn't have to be that serious.
So I love the fact that you said understanding what's real. Like, let me see what's really real. And that's the thing that I found that I was able to do during the week. But not only that, a lot of times we do these things and we don't even recognize we're doing it. So when I start to think back about times where I was stressed, and this is aside from last week, times when I was stressed, I would literally ask myself, what am I worried about this thing for? What's the worst that could happen? And if that happens, what is really going to be the outcome? You know, I would literally ask myself these questions. So just kind of give you a real life example. There was a time when I could not pay my mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can't pay your mortgage, you get, you know, you get a notice, hey, you know, you need to pay this by this time. Then you get the next notice that might be yellow, and they'd be like, hey, you better pay this by this time. And then the third one is a red one, is saying, if you don't pay this by this time, we're going to get you up out this mug, right? And so I've been there. And so in this time, I remember when the white paper came, I was like, dang, stress. Oh, am I going to be able to pay this? Now, mind you, I want to talk about channeling that you feel into something different. But nonetheless, I was able to sit and be like, okay, man, what if I cannot get this money next month? And then when next month came, the yellow note came, and I was like, dang, what if I can't get this money this time? And then, and so all of these negative thoughts are going through my head, like, I'm going to be out, my kid's going to be right here, my wife's going to be tripping, just all these different things. So now, not only am I worried about the issue at hand, I'm worried about a whole bunch of other stuff that's not real either. I'm thinking about kids. Like, I done made up an entire world that's not even real. So that's the reason why I point to the fact of you saying, you have to recognize what's real. So when the red notice came, I told myself, let's talk about what's real. I have my family. We have something to eat today. We got cars to get to where we're going to. And not only that, I have opportunity to make the money that I need in order to pay these things. Now, when it's going to happen, I don't know. Will I be able to get it by the time they put me out? I don't know. But what I do know is, in this present time, I have every opportunity and all the tools necessary in order to make it happen. And so what I did was I stopped sitting back and worrying, and I'm not going to act like I got up and just did a number of things that made a crazy amount of money come in. What ended up happening was a check came in the mail. It's funny. And it's not something that I had not worked for before. It's just something that I had forgot about because time had passed. And so funny enough, by the time that mortgage had to be paid, a check came that may help me pay to catch everything up. And it was just like, dang, had I not stopped myself at a point from living through the worry, there's a lot of other things that could have came from that as well, i.e. me being health-wise not right, i.e. me taking the stress out on my family. And so, again, worrying about something that I shouldn't have worried about at the time is a big deal, and I think that's where that stress comes from. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I want to touch on a couple of things you said. So, one, about the recognizing what's real, first is like, if you're gonna worry about something that's real. Like don't worry about what's not. Like, at least I'm not saying not to worry. Well, I am kind of saying that, but if you're going to worry, make sure it's something real. Verify that. But secondly, I had a conversation with somebody this morning about like how we sometimes pigeonhole ourselves into one form of outcome or resolution for a situation. And like, using your example as an example, you were thinking about how you were going to pay for your mortgage instead of just your mortgage being all right. And I guess the difference in it is, for you to pay for your mortgage, like you have to have the money to pay for it. But sometimes things happen where not only checks just come to you, but your mortgage might say, oh, there's a bank error in your favor, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've had things happen to me like that before. Unexpectedly, of course, because you can't really expect those things, but our creative power has an effect on the world that we live in. Now, we might not always realize it that way, but when we say there's only one answer for this to come through, one solution that this can have, we narrow our field when everything has a million, billion, trillion solutions if we just allow it to be, and we'll get there. And I want to read what Loretta said. Loretta Sharing Group, good for you, Troy. And shout out to Loretta. I think she's going to be on next week. We'll confirm soon, but yeah.
Shouts out. No, and I like that too. When you say, you know, instead of worrying about paying it, just knowing that it's going to be okay. And funny enough, that's kind of the mentality that I came to, because the thing that I had to tell myself was, and I think that's what became my focus, was no matter what happens with the mortgage, everything is going to be okay. And that was everything that I was worried about, because again, something as little as worrying about a mortgage caused me to worry about a million other things. And so, and all those million other things were not real. They were not even real. They weren't even things that have even come to pass at that point. And I think that's the kind of the domino effect that we get into. Even when, if you use work as the example, when you have a big assignment that comes to the table, when you work in corporate America, or even if you're working for yourself, you have a big file that comes across your desk. If there's any reluctance on being able to get that job done, you start to think about the ramifications or all the problems that's going to come by you not being able to complete it. Oh, my boss is going to do this. Oh, they're going to miss it. Like all of these different things. They're going to look at me. You know, it's going to be all these different things that come up. But one thing that I know that you used to do when you were working, you talk about it all the time, was I just be like, you know what? I don't want to do this right now. And we're not advocating for anybody to pull the J. Clay. But you just always knew that it was going to get took care of, right? So you was like, I don't want to do that. It's going to get took care of. And that's what essentially always happened. And the funny thing about it is, even in that example, in most cases in my life, anytime I stopped thinking about whatever it was, and the key here is knowing that it was going to be taken care of, it got taken care of. Because there are things that I didn't know was going to be taken care of, and they didn't get taken care of. But go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, so I want to read one more thing Loretta said. She said, stress usually results from stepping out of the present moment into an illusory future, into an illusory future moment that usually never happens. So true, so true. And one funny thought that I had when you were talking, Troy, was sometimes even those opportunities where we block ourselves even happen for a reason. So, and I guess the best example is, if let's say right now you like let's say somebody's mortgage is due, but something comes up like an opportunity for fun. It's like, man, I got to pay my mortgage. I can't pay for this fun thing. But that energy that's created when you pay for that fun thing leads you to more money for not only for your mortgage and this fun thing, but even more. But had you never put yourself in that situation, you wouldn't have been awarded that opportunity to see what you're capable of. Now, I'm not saying go spend all your money, spend your savings account, just do that and just live on the edge. But if you're feeling called to do that too. Like be open to the idea, because like, as we said, things have always worked out. If we were to go in time and look at the past, things continuously work out in ways that we cannot explain. We like, I don't know how this happened. I don't know where this check came from. I don't know where this thing that never happens happened this one time. Like it always happens. And are we willing to test that?
So here's the thing, and this is just my mentality on it all. The thing that you're saying is things always work out, and I 100% agree with that. But I would go even as far as to say that everything always works out because you have already worked them out. Now, the reason why I say that is because you got to ask yourself a question. Why am I sitting right here right now? Because I put myself here. Now, you can say God woke me up and gave me an opportunity to put myself here. But once I woke up, the reason why I'm sitting in this place is because I put myself here. So that would also mean that anytime an opportunity, using the example that you gave, like I got rent due and I got this big opportunity in front of me for fun, whatever the case be. Now, why did this opportunity present itself? Because I put myself, I've worked this all out for me to be here. Not only that, I've also worked out a way for me to pay my bills, but I haven't recognized it yet. Now, I think that's where coming back to unlock your inner calm plays its biggest role, because when you can recognize what's real, like number one, somebody would say that they can't start a business that has started businesses their whole life.
Yeah.
If you look at the facts, and that's why I say recognizing what's real, like you got to look at the facts. How did I ever even come to the point where I could pay any mortgage? What did I do? Can that be replicated, duplicated? Is there anything that's a resistance to me from doing it? No, there is not, because I've done it over and over again. Now what's happening to me is there's an opportunity for something new in front of me. Now let's talk about the real. Can I pay for this right now? Yes, I can. Have I been able to come up with a way to pay my mortgage before? Yes, I have. There's no problem. But the problem is the choice and me saying that I make the choice is going to make me come up short when I haven't taken the time to realize the truth and realize that I can replicate whatever it is again in whatever means I need to get it done. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. So in that, in unlocking your inner calm, the first step is just to verify, like find out what's true, what's really true. Second is verify further. Like what would happen if this didn't happen? Like in your case, what would happen if you didn't pay your mortgage and going down that rabbit hole? Like, can you handle that? Would you be willing to handle that? Is there more that you can do so that wouldn't happen? And how much faith do you have in that? And if not, if you have no faith, why even pursue that route as a viable option? Like it's so many things to go into place, but one simple thing is just to take a moment to breathe. And I know like that sounds so simple. Like what's breathing going to do? Breathing does everything. That one breath that you take, like that one lasting moment, because a breath is grounding in the present moment. And anything that you're worried about, anything that you're stressed about, is still future-based. And it could be future-based based on your perception of the past, but still it's future-based. And by breathing in, you're being in the now. And I can't tell you how many special things happen in those breathing moments.
I can tell you how many unspecial things happened in those moments. You know how many times taking a breath have caused me to not go over the end or the edge, or stop me from having a pen, like literally just giving myself a moment to ground myself and recognize that I'm here and I'm real is beyond important. And I agree with you. I think that's one of the most important things when it comes to recognizing your inner calm, because you can weed out all the noise. And that's what I had to do this week. I literally told myself, because I didn't do perfect mode, I was not as, you know, productive or as free or, you know, you can call it whatever you want to call it. But nonetheless, by the end of the week, before we even came up with this topic, I had to free myself and tell myself the truth again. And that was from me shutting up. And I mean, literally shutting up my mind, because I wasn't talking, you know, physically, but I literally had to tell myself, Troy, why are you acting as if you're less than anything that you are because you didn't do something? Why are you feeling like these things have to be done today? What's going to happen if they don't get done today? If they do happen today, what's going to happen? And so I started to run down a list of what all was real. And then once I was able to internalize really what's real, I felt free. I felt like, okay, well, there is no limitation. Okay, well, I'm not missing nothing. Okay, I am more happy. And I think that's important, like just being able to, you know, recognize in that calm the truth. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that breath more, and how I've gotten extra perks from taking a breath. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you may have perceived that something wrong happened to you, and you were addressing the person or entity or company that happened with, and they were talking about things. And there were times where I'll just take a breath just to really think about what was being said, think about me in relation to it. And in that breath, the other person couldn't take the silence and they just started throwing out stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, and me being silent, like if I would have just came out and yelled and I did this and blah, 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 and just kept talking and filling that silence, these resolutions might not have happened. And the beauty of life is, That's how it's meant to be. Like we go into something, we play, we jump in the pool, we jump in the water, then we relax. You can't take a breath in the water, but if you're drowning, if you relax and take a breath for a second, you'll have the energy to not drown anymore, in a sense. I've been in that situation too. But it's something about that pause moment. Take a pause no matter what situation you're in.
Bro, I know you've seen this before. I know that you have. Have you ever seen some people getting ready to fight but don't fight?
Yeah.
And people trying to calm them down, like the person that's literally have lost it. And the one thing that I would tell you that's a common fixture with all of these people that I've seen this happen before, including myself, when I wasn't able to calm down, I was breathing heavy, like, and I couldn't get myself, my breathing under control. I couldn't relax. I couldn't. And again, this is without a fight. This is without actually going through the fight. And I've seen this with many people before, that they cannot get their breath under control, therefore they cannot get themselves under control, including myself. And the reason why I point that out is because that just goes to show you how important the breath is. So you're telling me this person hasn't even fought yet. Their body is hyperventilating in a sense. They can't breathe. They can't catch their breath. Well, that's the cause for the emotions to be high. That's the reason why there is no calm. And that's the reason why you cannot master this current situation. What were you going to say, Jay?
I was laughing because I was just thinking like how unpleasant it would be to just be next to somebody that's breathing hard for no reason. Like they didn't just run or didn't do any physical activity. They just breathing hard. He's like, you all right, man?
Bro, that's how you would be. You would literally be like, are you good, bro? You need something right now. Yeah. But again, you know, this is the funniest thing about this whole thing. And I use the overdramatic person that cannot get calm as the example, but I'm going to use the calm person that's still not able to recognize and master their inner calm as an example too. And you can recognize this in yourself. I don't know. Oh, I put like this. I've recognized this in myself. I'm not going to say what anybody else can recognize. But what I will tell you is there are times when I could be sitting down and I probably you might think that I'm the calmest person on the planet, but I'm not breathing. I'm sitting down because my mind is on whatever it is. I'm holding my breath. Similar to when you're working out and things get tough for you, some people hold their breath versus releasing and inhaling and releasing to keep themselves in a state of calm. And again, I have had to catch myself and be like, while I'm thinking about something, be like, take a breath. And I take a deep breath to bring myself back to reality. But again, that just go to show you how not being able to unlock that adversely affects your body. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and I'll say one more thing on breath just to just bring it home. Like, we don't realize the role breath plays because you're breathing in what's outside of you and what's inside of you, you're giving it to the world. So it's like, it's a constant collaboration. The world that you see that you're stressed about is you. It came from you breathing it out, but also you get to be a part of it as well. And I think that's why it's important to focus on your breath. Like when you're doing yoga or you're doing meditation, they always tell you breathe. Even when you're working out, they say breathe. Make sure you breathe because it's important to be. You're at your best when you're one with everything. And the only way to really be one is to be constantly taking in and letting go, taking in what serves you in this moment, letting go what doesn't, and breathing. And conscious breathing allows you to do that.
Real talk. You remember, I don't know if was this Fresh Prince? 3, 2, 1.
One, two, three.
That was Urkel, right? Yeah. What the heck is bothering me? Like it's a joke because it's the truth. But I definitely would co-sign Jay when he said, you know, breathe. You know, you gotta be able to relax that stuff out of you. And that, again, that was a shout to Family Matters, man. 3, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3. What the heck is bothering me, man?
It's funny. Like, I can see how that can be annoying, too, to have to say that. But it really does work. So switching gears a bit, because I know we're calling this unlocking your inner calm, mastering stress, and the pursuit of perfection. So, like stress, again, by itself is nothing. It doesn't exist. Like, again, I'm just channeling my child, me, trying to figure out what is this stress thing everybody's worried about? Is tied to an idea that you have, which could be the pursuit of perfection, which, you know, we talk about all the time. You're already perfect, so there's nothing to pursue there. But because we forget this, we assign hidden value to extra elements, extra things. And we say, okay, if I'm not hitting these benchmarks set by this ideal that I've held on to, I'm stressed because I got to do it now. In fact, I should have did this last week or years ago. I'm behind the curve. And we're letting all these things compile and shape our reality when, again, we haven't even verified that these things are true, and it's not.
Yeah, real talk. Honestly, you know, just bringing this home, that's one of the biggest parts of my life that I am always the most unhappy about, because it happens so much in the spur of the moment. And what I mean by that, it doesn't take anything to trigger it. So, you know, I've used this example before, just driving down the street and somebody cutting you off in traffic. And immediately, you know, though nothing happened to me, the first thing that I can imagine is it happening to me, how mad I would have been, what I would do if I could say something to this person. And then, you know, the domino effect that it would have had on other people. And it's hard to recognize this stuff when it's just you. But funny enough, I've literally witnessed it from my wife, from my friends, from, you know, other people around me that have come to me and was like, man, let me tell you what happened today. Man, this dude almost cut me off in traffic. They would hit me, man. If they would have hit me, man, everybody in the car would have been messed up. And I was, boy, I would have went crazy. And I would have sued them. And it's this whole, and again, I'm saying it's not capping on anybody. I would never cap on anybody because these are emotions that I've felt myself and expressed myself to somebody down the line. But just being able to recognize when you hop on that whirlwind of a story that's not real, and then again have these unrealistic expectations. And I guess I shouldn't call them unrealistic expectations when we're talking about, because whatever your expectation is for yourself is your expectation. But being so hard and set on a goal that doesn't allow any movement for yourself to make you feel outside of yourself is really a thing. Because at any given moment, just using me as an example again, I said how crazy my week felt because of me not doing perfect mode. Again, a choice that I've made, but somewhere down the line before, I said, anytime I miss this, I'm missing something or something is missing. And so because I've made that to be true, it's so hard to even just take a, even though we've given ourselves the freedom to take a vacation, it's hard to take that vacation because there's an underlying meaning tied to it. And then there's this domino effect that happens. So being able to allow yourself the freedom to step outside of even parameters that you set for yourself are very important. Go ahead, Jay.
The two biggest revelations I had as an adult going into adulthood is this. The first is everything I was taught was not necessarily true. Like the opposite has played itself in my life. Like, well, nah, I thought we were supposed to do this. Nah, you actually supposed to do this. Oh, I thought we were supposed to do this way. Nah, you actually supposed to do this. But that was a precursor to this revelation that we make the true. Like there is no, well, there I would say there's a blanket truth where what's true for everyone and true for all time is true. But that truth is we get to choose the truth that we live in. There are people that, like, I eat a plant-based lifestyle. There are people who don't but can thrive on it. There are people who don't work a day in their life that they get all kind of checks. There are people who work every day of their life. They never get any money. There are people who, I don't know, walk a certain way who might have back problems. There are people who might walk the same way who don't. Like, I say this to say that the beliefs that we hold are more important than the so-called truth or the so-called right way or the so-called ideal we even have of ourselves. Like that idea that we have of ourselves it can be a blueprint, but a blueprint to the beliefs that we want to hold. And if we encounter something that opposes it, we don't have to give it energy or something to fear about or be stressed about or that we have to overcome. We can just recognize and say, oh, this is the truth that I don't want to carry in this ideal that I choose to portray.
You know, what's funny too, even from the sense of, you know, knowing that everything is going to be okay. You know what I mean? Like this past week, you know, we were driving down the street and it was a person on the side of the car, you know, panhandling. They had a little sign up and, you know, saying I work for food. And so Brody asked me, so for everybody that don't know, I have a 6-year-old. His name is Brody. And Brody asked me, he was like, hey, Troy. He said, Dad, why is that person out there with that sign? And I was like, well, they homeless. They don't got nowhere to stay. They generally, you know, it's not always the fact, but a lot of times they don't have no money. Something happened to them in their life. They ended up out there and they're trying to either get back or they're trying to make what they're doing comfortable. And so, you know, this goes to show also that, you know, everything will always be all right or everybody will always be taken care of in a sense. Because Brody, being 6 years old, he was like, oh, he said, well, Dad, you know, whenever I get my $83 back, because, you know, we hold his money, I'm just going to give all my money to the people on the corner. And this is a six-year-old that, you know, he can spend his money on whatever he want to spend his money on. It doesn't matter. He could have said, I want to go buy, you know, a new video game or anything. He said he wants to give it to the man on the corner that doesn't have anywhere to stay. And this is something that I didn't never teach him. This is just something on his own that he's decided. And it just go to show you that this is the reason why there's a place for everything in this world. And everything will always be taken care of, because it's not something I would dissuade him to do. You know, I did tell him, I was like, hey, you can give him some money. Don't give him all your money. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, being able to allow everything to play its position is important too. And I just think that's a big part of this dynamic too, when it comes to unlocking your inner calm, because a lot of times we try to play out of position, which in turn is the problem or a problem that we end up going down whenever we're trying to deal with this. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. All right. And even to that, like, again, to play it against the truth from an individual aspect is, again, it's limited to what you're trying to do. So like a lot of the times we're stressed about things that we're not even trying to do that. We don't even really care about that in that way. We're not even trying to be known as that. And we're letting these factors, like, it's almost a distraction leading us to something completely different than what we actually want. Like when I told you when I used to have my day job and there was some stuff I just didn't want to do at that time, I would simply say, I would be like, do I want to be known as the guy that figures out all this hard stuff? Nah, not this time. I might have that reputation in certain instances, but that's not what I want. And I'm just not going to do the work right now. I might do it later if it's still there, but oftentimes it gets taken care of by somebody who wants to be that. We might fix in our head, like, oh, this is going to be a bad thing come review time. It's not. It wasn't for me. I still was able to get high remarks doing what I do because I attached myself to the things that I really love, and I did those to the fullest. But the things that I didn't care for, I didn't let that bother me. I didn't let that mentality skew my mentality in any way. And a lot can be said to that. And I would just say, try. You don't gotta go full force and like never do any work ever if you're having a job like that. But just do baby steps for like one task and see how it goes. And you will see. And I don't think that this would necessarily turn you lazy as long as you're still giving into your joy. Because you're gonna have plenty of opportunities to do the things that you truly love. That might be a lot of work, but you don't care because you love it. So it's a lot of fun instead of a lot of work.
To me, I classify lazy, just to kind of remark on that. I classify lazy as not doing the stuff that you want to do. That's what I would define as lazy, if I defined anything. I mean, because some people go to work and the stuff that we're talking about, we don't want to do. Like, I wouldn't want to do it either. I don't think that means that I'm lazy just because I don't want to do it. But it's, you know, if it's something that you're driven to do and you don't do it, then, you know, the question is, why are you not choosing your love? You know what I'm saying? And if you're not choosing something that you absolutely love, then that gotta be a lazy situation. Go ahead, Jay.
But sometimes you can't do what you love because you're so tired from doing what you don't love. And so it's like, in a sense, you're not being lazy about that, but you're being stupid in a way. Like, man, why are you going to do what you don't love for somebody else, but you won't do what you love for yourself? Or you do that secondary, like you let that take all of your energy.
So I won't say that this is fact for everybody, right? I would just speak on me and your behalf only because I've witnessed it.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of times where we've been tired. You know what I'm saying? But when we were doing what we wanted to do, tired didn't play a role. Like, I can't remember a time, honestly. Now, this is the crazy part about it. On the surface of it, I would tell you that I didn't want to sell CDs. That's what I would tell you on the surface. Like, if you were like, you want to go out here and sell some CDs? Nah, not really. Now, the caveat to it is, when me and you were doing it, maybe I wasn't enthused to sell CDs, but I was enthused to go out and kick it with my boy and meet new people in a way that was beneficial for us in the music, right? So when we were out pushing CDs, I can't remember a time, bro, where I said, bro, I'm sleepy. I cannot remember a time. Now, I remember going to sleep. I remember being a little bit too lifted, but I can never remember a time saying I was tired. And so much so that we touted how hard we went from sun up to sundown because we were not fatigued. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, when we finished working, we went out to go have even more fun. So I would, you know, say that when you love something, and again, I'm not saying that this is true for everybody because I don't know. I've been taking my hits whenever me and my wife have our conversations, and I'm telling her this is how things are, and then she's like, "Well, that's not how it is for me." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool, I got you." But I'm just a believer in when it is something that you love and it's something that you want to do, that your energy is infinite. Go ahead.
But see, even in that though, that whole experience of us selling the CDs, that was it. Like we there was no other job. There was no other task to do. Like this was solely for us. This was solely for us to do, and we really wanted to do it. And by us really wanting to do it, it's energy giving. Whenever you do something that you want to do, it gives you energy more than it takes. Whereas I've had situations where I worked a bunch of hours doing stuff I didn't want to do. I came home, I was working on music, which I wanted to do, but I was just falling asleep. I was like, dang, I can't do this. I can't write this right because my mind not right. Like I'm trying to do something I love, but I'm already spent at that point. And what I'm saying is at least try to do you first. Instead of like, just switch that, like still do the same stuff, just switch the order. Do you first and then do the others later.
I agree. And this is what I would tell you about that. And I am in no way co-signing or telling anybody to do what I did. This is the other half to that story. Yeah. Because at that time, when we were going out promoting music and selling CDs and going out of these different places, there was another job that I had. There was another two jobs that I had. There was a job at school and there was a job at work. At school, I did not do so well. Not because I wasn't smart enough to do it, but because the energy that I needed in order to facilitate that, I didn't have, to your point. Like, I didn't have energy to do what I didn't want to do. That's the key. So I had both of them going on. And so when you say choose what you want, I did. I literally said, you know what? What's going to be better for me is going to be going to go promote CDs, going to go travel with J. Clay, going to go do shows. And what's not going to be the best for me is going to class, doing all of this homework. Again, if you go to school, you're paying for that mug, you know, do what you need to do to get that mug done. J. Clay is an example of it. He got that mug done. But for me, I didn't have the energy for that. But I wanted to make sure that I was doing the things that I wanted to do more than anything. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and just so y'all know, I gave up on school by like maybe my junior year. I mean, I still went through promotion just to get it done and to it was a better alternative. It was more of what I wanted. I wanted to be on my own. And school allowed me to be. So in that instance, I was excited to be that. But but again, to that point, definitely do what you want. So getting back to the stress, what would you say are the tools? I know, just to recap so far, we talked about, we want to verify that this is truly something to be stressful over. Like is this outcome, what's the chances of this outcome really happening? Like, just assess that first. Taking a deep breath, like just taking a breath, taking a moment to pause, but then also see if you are doing activities that give energy versus take. Like, stress is a taking, just by thinking about something stressful, it's taking your energy. So now you doubly lost because you can't even handle the situation correctly because you're letting it drain you. So doing these energy giving activities again first, before then deciding to stress over this, can help too. What is there something extra you would say in a sense?
Yeah, just based off personal experience, be honest. And the reason why I say that is, you know, again, when I was working in corporate America, I always tell you, I am never going to be somebody that gets wheeled out on a stretcher at a job. I've seen it happen to too many people. I'll go ahead.
Before you go into that, when you say be honest, like be honest about what?
That's what I'm about to tell you. But I was literally one of the people that said that would never happen to me. The problem and the reason why it happened to me is because I was not being real with myself and recognizing that I was stressed. So if you had asked me at the time, which the nurses did, they were like, man, you eat good, you work out all the time, are you stressed? And I kept telling them, I'm not stressed. And the reason why I kept saying that is because I could not recognize the things that I was doing or things that I could actually stress over. They were things that I classified that if you're stressing over this, then you're tripping. You don't need to stress over this. So whenever I looked at them on the surface for myself and somebody asked me, was I stressed about coming to work and doing this? No, I'm not stressed about that. It's my job. It's what I got to do. And so I would tell you to be honest, because if you are honest, you can make the necessary adjustments. I was not able to change the way that I felt about work because I kept telling myself that I was not something that I actually was because of the definitions that I gave myself prior to. Go ahead, Jay.
So in that, like, you, in a sense, you were honest with yourself about, like, I'm not stressed, but you didn't recognize that you were. How, if somebody's in that state, how can they recognize that they are?
I think that, again, hindsight is 20/20. I wasn't able to figure it out on myself until I went out on a stretcher and I had to tell myself literally, none of this other stuff can matter to me. Nothing matters. And I had to tell myself, just like I was telling myself that I wasn't stressed, and I wasn't literally telling myself that I wasn't stressed every day. There was a hard set rule. You cannot be stressed over work. So because of that hard set rule, that was never a topic ever broached in my internal ever again. You go to work because you got to. This is what's got to have to happen. And you're going to smile and you're going to do all these things. So I was at work smiling, talking to everybody, having fun, all the while knowing that I did not want to be there. So, or I didn't like the way that things were going. So what happened was once I got wheeled out, they gave me this medicine and told me to do all these things. I literally had to come to a decision myself and say, what is up, Troy? Why is your blood pressure doing this stuff and you eat the way you do and you all this kind of, okay, are you really stressed? What would stress you out about at work? I had to start to ask myself real questions like, do I really like the fact that I sit in this desk all day like this? Do I really like the fact that they can come and ask me to do stuff and not care how I feel about it? Do I really like, and before I would be like, yeah, I'm cool, I don't care. But I started to say, you know what? I don't like that. This does make me feel this way. This is this way. And so that when I recognized those things, the first time my boss came to me and said, hey, Troy, we need you to do this report. He gave it to me. Let's say this is after I got back to work. He gave it to me at like 2:30. I need you to have this before you're done today. And I looked at the report and it was a report that's going to be like 3 or 4 hours. And I replied to him and said, I'm not doing this today. I'll do it tomorrow. And he was like, what you mean you're not going to do it today? I mean that I get off at 3:30. This is not something that I'll be done with by 5 or 6. I'm not going to do it today. And he was like, well, why don't you get your assistant to do it? I said, my assistant gets off when I get off. I'm not going to have her do it either. And so me, first of all, deciding that these things were upsetting to me, knowing that they affected me a different way. The first time that I was able to say, you know what, I'm not going to do it. You don't even realize the weight that came off of my shoulder. It was like whatever, it just flew away from me. And it was a little different from your circumstances because I could have just not said anything. But I think I was more stressed on the fact of me not being able to say anything. Why can't you voice how you feel about it if you're that important here? And so once I did that and recognized that that was important to me, I was able to make the difference. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And I will say now, I have done that plenty of times, voiced that. It's not going to be done now. I can't do it now. Whatever. And like you said, I know how freeing that can be. So I guess the key thing here is, just in case somebody is in this situation, if you can remember when you were at the height of that, like when you were on the stretcher, how long before you started asking yourself these questions? Like, could you in that state, or did you have to kind of just let that energy pass first?
No, because I knew that I was somewhere that I didn't want to be, meaning not work, but on the stretcher, in the back of the ambulance. I knew that I do not want to be here. Be real, Troy. Why you in here? You like literally, like that's why I said I had to let the facts play themselves out. This is a time when I was fasting. This is a time when I was working out all the time. This is the time where I was trying all these different eating diets to make sure that I was intaking good stuff for myself. So I was doing all that I felt was good.
I believed.
And I also was doing something that I didn't believe was good, which again, I did not recognize because I didn't allow it to be an option. So I'm doing all of this good stuff and I'm doing something that's really detrimental to myself and I'm living in it like it's okay. The thing that I caution everybody to do is to be real with yourself. Look at yourself. And this is not about being sick like me. It's just when we're talking about stress, inner calm, there's something screaming to you. If there's something going on, there's something screaming to you all the time. And you have locked it away. And you have said, it's not real. And the reality of it is, if it's yelling at you from the inside of you, you've already made it real. You have to hear it out. You have to find out. Like the question that I asked myself all the time, bro, was, I know I don't like this. Why don't I like this? Why don't I like this? And when I was able to answer that, I was able to make the change. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. And so one thing I was getting at with that line of questioning you answered too is that I don't want to say it like this, but sometimes it can be too late before you recognize it. And we don't want that. So in a sense, like start to practice, even if it's for 1 minute, start to practice either the deep breathing, the meditation, mindful exercise where you're moving with your breath in a sense. And the reason I say that is because in doing this, you get to a point where you can let go, even if it's for a split second, you let go completely and you get to feel what that feels like. And once you feel how it feels like, you realize that you've been holding on, you've been tense in all your other moments of your day. And you're like, wait a minute, I really love this peaceful feeling. I really love this free feeling that I've just let go of so much. Why would I now be so quick to put it all on? And you can start making changes. But unless you feel that difference, it's hard to even know. I remember when I started to feel that difference, it was like a cliche where you're like, the sky is of a new color. It really is. It's the same sky, but the color was just so much brighter. The sounds were so much crisper. Like everything was so different from this peaceful place, from this place of just letting go versus the one of holding on the weight of the world, which nobody asks you to hold on to, which nobody even knows that you're holding on to. And that should be a clue too, that you don't need to hold on to the thing that you're holding on to.
I challenge people to do this. Because again, this is one of the things that I've heard over and over again, people saying, I can't go a day without doing stuff. Like, I would challenge you to anything that you felt like you had to do today or any day, just literally don't do anything. Like, when I say literally don't do anything, just take a day and don't do anything. And in that day, what's going to happen to you is you're going to think about the things that you were supposed to do. And when you think about those things, tell yourself that you don't have to do them. Like, it's going to be a work in progress. So don't do anything. And then tell yourself that I don't have to do these things, because that's the only way that you can. I feel like you're going to be able to let go and really see what that feels like. Like, because, bro, one of the things that I've been wanting to do for the longest, and I try to do it as much as I possibly can now, is I try to go without talking, period. So when I wake up in the mornings, I try to see how long I can go without saying a word. I actually wanted to take a trip where I just didn't talk, like take a weekend trip where I just did not talk at all. Like just be quiet, because this is the obligations of life that we tend to be drawn to, that feel like if we do them, the world's going to end, right? And so I just challenge people just don't do nothing. And when you tell yourself you need to do it, don't worry about doing that either, so that way you can see how that really feels at the end of it. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, they also have like silent retreats that where people go to, and I think they take your phone, everything, like you can't even communicate. You just gotta just be in silence by yourself for like those 3 days. But to that, that's a good segue back to our fast, which we're, you know, starting soon, starting today, starting this week. Is eating is something that a lot of people believe you have to do. And just even a break from that, you don't realize it, but even a break from that, which you think it might be stressful, like, ah, I got to eat, it causes you to look at so much more stuff, and it's really not that bad. So I agree with you totally, but also have that day of rest, like that, like some people call it the Sabbath, some people call it a rest day, some people call it Saturday, or you can make it your Sunday, whatever day you make it, like have those days where you do nothing. It's the greatest thing in the world, I'm telling you, and you'll have so much energy when you start back to do stuff that you do, yet you accomplish way more than you would have had you been doing it every day, all day.
I also think that you'll be even more creative. You know what I mean? Like you're just so open to so many different things once that's happened, because whether you want to happen or not, your mind is going to go a million miles per hour that day. And there are going to be tons of ideas that's going to flood your mind. And look, the times when I don't do anything, I always got a million ideas. It doesn't mean I always execute them. And I'm always, and that's something that I have to work on for myself. That's something that I'm upset about more often than not, because I have done the work to make myself be quiet, to make myself not worry. And now there's a level of exposure that I've given myself that now I have to have the energy or the belief to go ahead and put those things into play as well. Go ahead, Jay.
What's funny real quick about the creativity, it's true. This doesn't happen to me when we do the one-day fast. When we do the three-day fast, I always cook a new recipe afterwards. Like right now, I'm like, nah, I don't feel like doing that. Who cares? I'm going to eat what I always eat, eat the normal stuff. But it's something about just not doing it that it's like, okay, when I can eat, when I can start back eating, I'm going to make sure it's something that I've never had before. I'm going to try it. I'm going to chop up my own vegetables. I'm going to prepare it my own way. Like, just... it's just something more creative about that. And I could attest to that with music making as well. Like, if I hadn't been able to do it for a while and I finally do, it's like, oh, we're not just going to make a standard song. We're going big with it. We're doing something we never did before. We're trying a beat selection that we've never selected before just to see what will come out of it.
Yeah, I love that. And again, that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? Be fruitful and multiply. You got so much in you to give out to everybody. You just got to be willing to give it. But if you're worried about everything on the outside of you versus the inner calm or what's on the inside of you, you limit your creativity because you're looking at other people's. And to shortchange yourself and not realize that you got a whole world around you because all of that same stuff, like people are around you because they love what you've been able to put out, what you've been able to create. And it could just be words. It could just be a smile. Like, some people love people only because of their smile. It came from them. And so, you know, not recognizing the true power that you have and understanding what you actually bring to this world and the dynamic that you have for the people around you is so egregious, and it's such a cheat to yourself that you have to recognize and you have to realize that's real. So, you know, I encourage everybody, as we've been saying, you got to quiet the noise and recognize what's real. You know, take deep breaths and allow that inside of you to come out and get some of that inside, bring it in. You know, open yourself up for what the world has for you so that way you can give it back. And, you know, I also would tell y'all, without y'all, we wouldn't be here. You know, I'm grateful for these conversations every single week. Even missing last week, I needed to take some time off so that way I can have my inner peace and my calm and realize something new about myself. Nothing is mandatory. Everything is optional. And, I'm back again in full force, and I'm grateful to be here with my brother. And so, you know, Jay, I know you can go ahead and take us out, but just remember, take them breaths, man.
Yeah, take the breaths. Let go. And if you enjoyed the show, hit that share button, like, subscribe, do all that, tell people about it. Check out our Patreon on the link that's somewhere on here. And yeah, I just appreciate all y'all, man. Like, just remember, your perfect creation made by a perfect creator. So you might as well accept your perfection and enter perfect mode.
If I reminded you that you are perfect, would you argue me down or step into your perfection? Welcome to perfect mode, where there are no excuses, no expectations, and we explore the world without limitations. I'm Jay Clay, rapper, the spiritual teacher, with my co-host Troy Washington, your friendly neighborhood realtor. Let's be real. So let's be perfect.
Perfect.
Everything. Anything.